Morning, church family, or for you that are watching tonight, good evening. Today, we are going to be hearing the last of the Kingdom Series series, and Jay is going to be talking about the advancing the kingdom of God, about our responsibilities in spreading the gospel, living in righteousness, and growing in God's grace. We'll also be having communion today, so if you haven't had a chance to pick up the elements, they are in the foyer. So we have an opportunity to serve. The second service needs help in the nursery. So I know you're all in first service today. Maybe you can do a day or two a week and go and hug those babies and pinch them on their cheeks, the ones in the front or the ones in the back. But then you can just leave them with their parents and you can go home, and so you can get your baby fix. The youth Bible study has been going on for a while now. Joe and his bros. And it's Blast and Ignite together, learning about jealousy and betrayal, and lack of independence, and being misunderstood, and learning to trust God in hard times, and waiting for God's timing. And we adults can learn something from that. That is on Wednesdays through July from 7 to 8. So the men's Bible study started this week, called Kingdom Men Rising, and it's based on the study by Dr. Tony Evans, a longtime disciple and teacher for Jesus. And the classes are on Tuesday nights from 6:30 to 8. This week, we learned about men being chosen for the challenge, and we reviewed and remembered about how God had promised Israel that he would, if they met three times a year and lived righteously for God and followed his laws, that he would drive out nations, enlarge their borders, and allow no man to covet the land. And so we learned about how that applies to us nowadays. It's a great study. It's a great series. And you can still get in. And so see Jay about getting a book for that. So there is another opportunity to serve coming up on July the 10th. It is the R3 Development Saturday, and our team is going to be joining with teams from other churches and volunteers working with youth in East St. Louis who are being mentored in Christian principles, and it's involving renovation projects, and there are no special skills required. That is from 7:30 till about 2 o'clock on the 10th, and you'll meet in the church here. So there also will be a women's retreat October the 15th to the 17th at Palatine, and we've been talking about that for a while now, so hopefully those of you who have thought about it are going to be soon going ahead and signing up for that. So we now have something going on for the kids, something for the men, something for the women, and I think that's outstanding. If you haven't already done it, download the Fellowship Go app so that you can go in and have access to everybody's information. If you need to contact anybody, that'll be a good place for you to go. So now let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this beautiful day you gave us. You gave us everything we need this day, Lord. Some of us need hope. Some of us need guidance. Some of us need faith. Some of us need courage. Lord, I need most all of those. And I just thank you that whenever we call on you, you are there for us. And I just pray that through this service today, through our fellowship together, we will come to know and love you more and know and love each other more. And we just thank you for this day. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you, sir. It is indeed a blessing to be here this morning to worship with you, my brothers and sisters. I count it a privilege to be able to bring God's word to you. That probably accounts for my nerves as well. We're going to pray, and then we will go into our word for today. Dear Heavenly Father, we are excited as always to be seated in your presence. Excited for the opportunity to come to a place that has been set aside for the purpose of worship. Thankful that I can come in here and sing songs that bring you glory, that I can shout, as the scriptures say, with the voice of triumph, that I can extend my heart to you, even when it's broken, with all confidence knowing that you would repair it. Thankful, God, that even on this morning, that we know that you're going to impart your word to us, that you're going to pour into us, so that we will be equipped and empowered to advance your kingdom. So we just pray, God, that you would open our ears and our hearts and our minds to receive your self-disclosure as the living word. And we just pray right now, God, that you remove all distractions and that we see and hear you and you alone. And God, we just pray that you are already blessed by the songs that we've sung, by our praise, and by our worship. And God, we will bless you forevermore. Amen. So we are, it's so kind of funny because you would think I would be sad because we're coming to the end of this sermon series. And I'm not sad. Kind of glad we're coming to the end. I haven't preached consecutive Sundays in a long time. So these next 2 months, I'm going to enjoy this off. I am. I'm going to leave it up to Jim and up to Mark. I'm just going to bask in what God says through them. And so I'm excited to have had the opportunity to preach this series. There's way more to it. Try to condense it as much as I possibly could. In preaching the sermon series once before, it took an entire year. So you can imagine it's kind of hard to kind of fit a year into 4 weeks. But with that said, come to understand what the kingdom is, whose kingdom it is. Come to understand, with it being Father's Day, what it means to be a kingdom dad, a kingdom father, a kingdom man. And today we're going to talk about how we advance the kingdom of God. It's real simple, and it's real easy to do this work. But it just takes some people that are willing to dedicate their hearts and minds and their time to him. So we're going to go through the scripture, and hopefully as we go through it, we'll be able to pull out of it what God intends for us to do as his citizens. Since you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 28. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. I started that too high. I'm going to start over. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. just to take him at his word and to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him and how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Key change. I am so glad that I've learned to trust him. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and to know that he is with me, that he'll be there until the end. Choir. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, 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 precious Jesus. Ooh, y'all sound good. Whew. I'll give you a hand. Don't you miss the hymns sometimes? I do too. I do. All right. Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Advancing the kingdom of God. We're going to talk about, let's talk first about the Great Commission. All right. What it's all about. I think what happens is a lot of churches have made a mistake in spelling out what their mission is. And if you ever read their mission statement, it's some long two or three sentence thing, and it's got, you know, it dips and dives and it looks like a roller coaster and so forth and so on. And I think what they forgot is God had already given us a mission. And all we have to do is do that. Now, the vision for how you carry out that mission might vary from church to church or from city to city or area to area, but the mission is always the same. So in order for us to advance the kingdom, we got to first know what the mission is. So let's discover that. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So right here, the king is sharing with us, now that we are citizens of the kingdom, what the mission is. Simple. We're to go, first of all. That means that we have to leave the four walls. We have to walk beyond this building. And we have to now make disciples. So how do you do that? Because a disciple is a person who follows after the teachings of another. So how do you convince somebody that they should follow after the teachings of Christ? Oftentimes when we start talking about going and witnessing or going and spreading the good news, the gospel, a lot of people will tell you, "I don't have that ability. I don't know how to speak well. I don't know enough information. I don't know enough scripture." And I get that, and I understand that. But there is, well, before I say that, you should know scripture. Amen. Got one amen. You should know scripture. You should know how to articulate the basics of your belief, right? If somebody asks you, why do you believe in God, you need to be able to give an answer for that. And the scriptures do point out and share with us how to do those things. Jim Villalobos taught a class called Confidence in the late winter, early spring. And the idea was to understand the scriptures to the point where we have confidence in that it is the unadulterated word of God, and that it is powerful, and that it does what it says it can do, and it points out who God is, and so forth and so on. And so that when you do stand to give an answer, when you do stand to share with people who God is and what he's done for you, you have confidence in it. But you should know what the word says. But alongside that, you should, as to the best of your ability, execute what the word says. So in other words, it's living his word. Now I know LOL stands for laugh out loud, but I'm going to use LOL as live out loud. And that's what we should do. Let's take the scriptures, as the Bible says, hide the word in our heart and live out loud. So yes, you should know scripture. You should be able to articulate. You should be able to say what it says. But you should, more beyond that, be able to live what it says. You've often heard the phrasing that a picture is worth a thousand words, or that actions speak louder than words. Oftentimes, we can tell somebody that we're a Christian, but it's how we live it that really shares with them who we really are. I've told you all before, some months ago, about two people driving down the street, and they got into a little road rage thing, right? And one of them had the little fish symbol on the back of the car, and the other one had, I forgot now what it was, but somebody had some other Christian symbol, and they're both going back and forth trying to convince each other that the other was number one, right? And so they're going back and forth and all this kind of, and I'm looking at the bumper sticker going, if anybody ever looks at this and says there are two Christians fighting on the highway, what does that say about God? See, it's one thing for us to be able to say what the scripture says. It's another thing for us to be able to live what the scripture says. Because your mouth can say anything. What are your actions? So when we go and we make disciples, yes, we are to articulate what the scripture says. But people are going to be watching to see if we in our actions believe what we just told them. And so it is important to us, and you'll discover as we go further into this message, you'll discover how important it is for us to live out loud this confession of faith. But beyond that, we are to go and make disciples, baptizing them. Well, let me back up. We are to go and make disciples of all nations. Doesn't make a difference what color your skin is. Doesn't make a difference what your political affiliation is. It doesn't make a difference what area or what region of the country or the world you come from. Doesn't make a difference what you used to practice. Doesn't make a difference, watch this, it doesn't make a difference what your religion is. You can come up to me and say, well, I'm Muslim. That's fine. When I get done, right? That should be our mentality. I'm going to introduce you to the one true God. That's fine that you have your own belief system and you have your practices and religions and so forth and so on. But once you get a chance to experience or to see the love of the one true living God, you cannot deny him. And so when we go and make disciples of all nations, we are not worried. If somebody comes up to me and says that I'm of a different religion, okay, thank you for telling me that. Now I know which avenue I need to take. But I'm here to make disciples of all nations, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, I know people are going to have different things about should we sprinkle, should we immerse, and so forth and so on. And we have a baptismal pool that I'm pretty sure we're going to use sometime real soon. And that's not the sprinkling kind. But that doesn't matter, right? But we're to baptize them in the name, under the authority of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I, meaning Christ, has commanded. Now, in a little bit, we're going to talk some more about that, because Jesus expands that speech. But we are to teach them everything that Christ has taught us. Notice it's everything that he taught us and not everything that grandma taught us. It's everything that he taught us and not everything that our friends taught us while we were in school, or what we learned in college, or what we learned on the streets. Those things are valuable, or invaluable in some instances, but we are to teach them what Christ has embedded in our hearts. It is God's directive for his citizens. The next point down, life beyond the door. Explain that in a second. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to read verses 8 through 13. This is a familiar passage of Scripture. It's one of my favorite passages of Scripture. But I want to explain something real quick. The little blurb under that says, Jesus is the door by which our salvation comes, but there is life beyond that. And what that means is this, and I want to clarify, because I know some people are going, wait a minute, what do you mean there's life beyond Jesus? Well, I want to clarify. Jesus is the door by which our salvation comes, but you cannot stand in that doorway for the rest of your life. Somewhere along the line, you have to travel beyond the door of your salvation so that you can reach other people. Somewhere along the line, you have to travel beyond the door so that you can go in and experience God. What sense would it make if you came over to my house and I said, hey, how you doing? And I said, come on in. And you like, you stand in the doorway and go, oh, you have a lovely foyer. And I'm like, you can come on in. They're like, no, I'm comfortable right here in the threshold of the front door. Who does that? When you go into my house, you will then experience life as we live it in the kitchen and in the living room and out on the deck, all that. When you come to my house, you'll experience me and my family as you go further into the house. And what God is going to tell us is that we have to get beyond the threshold. Glad that you're saved. Glad that you've given your life to Christ. But there's more to be done. And so we have to get out of the doorway and go further into the house. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. Goes on to say that I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content to be content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And then verse 13. Now verse 13 is going to tie us back to verse 8. It says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. So here's the thing. Now we're bridging over. We know what the mission is. The mission is to go and make disciples, right? Baptizing them and teaching them whatever Christ has taught us. So now we are saved. We have given our life to Christ. We've yielded our all to him. And now it is time for us to live out loud this confession of faith. And so now it's time for me to take whatever is true, right? Whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report. And it's time for me to live that out loud. Those things that I've seen and heard and watched being practiced, those things are now for me to practice. But watch this. For those that feel like I don't have the capacity to do that, the Apostle Paul comes back and says, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, why is that significant? Because there comes a time when we, in our humanness, in our humanity, we fail. We fall short. There are some things that we should do or some things we should say, and we fall short in that because of our humanity. But when we rely on Christ, what his word says, and the fact that Christ himself being human, being fully human, was able to live these things, once we look at his example and says, if he can do it, and he says he's willing to empower me to do it, then I can do it also. I can be honest. I can have a good report. I can be lovely. I can be pure. I can have a good report. Why? Because Christ strengthens me to do that. Now, me of myself, I have no strength whatsoever. I have no ability whatsoever. If somebody slaps me, it better be 20 people around me praying. Right? Because I don't take slaps well. I just don't. But it's something about that when that happens, and we're going to, again, we'll get to it a little bit. When that happens, it's something about the Spirit of God that comes up in you and says, hold on one second before you act. Remember what they did to Jesus. Remember that they slapped him and spit on him and cursed him and called him all kinds of names and beat him unmercifully. I can't even say the word. They beat him they just beat him senseless, right? I had a Porky Pig moment there, Terrence. There you go. Terrence called me last week and said, you had a Porky Pig moment that other Sunday. But they beat Jesus, and the Holy Spirit will come back and says, look at what they did to him, and then look at his reaction. And if you call yourself a follower of Christ, you have to know and understand that there's going to be some adversity that comes your way. Some things that are going to happen. There's some people that are going to be against you. Not everybody's going to like you. And when they slap you, take it as a compliment because they slapped Jesus too. So the Holy Spirit brings that up in an instant and reminds you that as Christ had the power to refrain from retaliation, you do too. He brings back to your remembrance what the scripture says, don't repay evil for evil. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He brings that to your remembrance. And if you are true about your confession, if you are true about being a disciple, you just simply humble yourself and bow in submission to him and say, yes, Lord. And you allow for him to react, or let me say this like that, you allow for him to respond through you. Now you are able to have an effect on the other person. Romans chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2. I was going to start reading, but I heard somebody flipping. Got excited. You don't hear pages flipping at church anymore. Verse 1 says, therefore, I urge you. I'm sorry, let me back up. The therefore part has to do with chapters 1 through 11. If you read chapters Romans chapter 1 through 11, you will understand what the therefore is about. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Allow me to stop right there for a second. I love our praise team, and I love worship. If you've ever sent me an email, you know that. My email says, I love worship at iCloud.com, right? I love worship. I love the atmosphere of worship. I love all these different, I love to sing the songs. I love the prayers. I love all the different things that we do to interact with God on a Sunday morning or maybe on a Friday afternoon when you're driving down the street. Whatever that is, I love that interaction. But if you want to know what true and proper worship is, it's how you live every day. Real worship is not just a song. It's not just the lifting of your hands. It's not just shouting hallelujah unto God. Real true worship is loving your enemies even when your enemies tell you they hate you. That's real worship. If you want to know how to really bow down before God, how to lay prostrate before God, the way you do that is in humble submission to Him out of obedience to His word. That is worship. He says to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is our true and proper worship. Then he goes on to say in verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Our bodies, our action, our activity, it is the biggest witness we have. It is the best form of worship. Watch, God did something. He combined two things. If we just simply live His word out loud, two things take place. We witness to the rest of the world about the love and the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ, but we also extend worship to the Father. So we're doing two things at one time. We're killing two birds with one stone. If we are truly excited about what God has done in our lives, then we will be charged up to live this thing out loud. I don't mind sharing my faith. I don't mind telling other people I'm a believer. I went to Top Golf one day, which is my other church, by the way. I went to Top Golf. And I had on this jogging suit. And the jogging suit, I got the wristband on too. The jogging suit simply said, in Jesus' name, I play. Right? I used to be an athlete. I'm not really an athlete anymore, but I was athletic. I feel athletic in my mind. But I was out there, and I'm swinging away, and this guy is behind me, behind my family. And so, you know, if you're a golfer, you understand you're swinging, and I'm doing like this, and I'm like, who is this guy looking at me? Why is he looking at my, you know, because my thing is he's looking at how I'm swinging. And I'm thinking he's going to come over here and tell me what I'm doing wrong. First of all, you never tell a golfer what he's doing wrong, because then you'll mess up his whole game. Not that it's not already messed up. And so I'm doing like this, and I swing, and I hit the ball or whatever, and I'm expecting him to come over and say, you know what, if you bend your knees a little bit more, I'm like, man, if you knew my knees, you know, they don't bend anymore than they do. But he came up to me and said, man, I love that jogging suit you have on. I said, oh, thank you. He said, no, I like the words it says on the back, and I forgot that on the back down the middle, it says, in Jesus' name I play. And he began to ask me, was I a believer? And I said, yes, sir. And he was like, well, what church do you go to? And so forth and so on. I told him what church I went to. This is before I came here. And we went through all of this, whatever. So I'm one of those people, I never start off with, I'm a pastor. That's like the last thing I ever say, right? I just start off with, yeah, I'm a believer. I go to this church and, you know, and I serve with this congregation and blah, blah, blah. So he kept asking questions. So he kept painting me in the corner. So finally it came out and said, I'm a pastor. He said, oh, no wonder you're wearing that. I'm like, that's not why I'm wearing this, right? I'm wearing this because this is what I believe. And I want to share this with everybody else. And I remember, Terrence can back me up on this. I remember taking our men's fellowship down into the Central West End. And we would have men's fellowship meetings down there at a place called the Coffee Cartel. I know that's hard to believe that I would go to a coffee shop, but that's where we went. And we went to the Coffee Cartel, and we sat outside, and we talked, and we fellowshipped, and we read the scriptures, and so forth. And when we got done, we locked hands as men, grown men, locked hands on the middle of Central West End streets, right there at Euclid. Yeah, there, right. And people were passing by, and cars were slowing down, and people were passing, and folks actually literally stopped walking while we were praying. Now, there were some that kept walking, but, you know, we'll keep praying for them. But we locked hands, and we were praying, and when we were done, people came up to us. Hey, what church do you brothers go to? Or where do you guys, you know, where are you guys, what do you believe? And blah, 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 all these. When you live your life out loud, you create opportunity to share of the glorious experience, the event of Calvary's cross with that person in hopes and in prayer that they too will come to believe in him like we have. See, I live out loud not to be boastful and not to pat myself on the back. I live out loud because I want the opportunity to be able to say Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. I want to be able to say you too can have it too. Guess what? And it's free. Have you ever seen those late night commercials, right? And they go and they talk about, and this, you can have this and that or whatever. And guess what? You can pay thousands of dollars over here, but we're going to give it to you for $19.95. But hold on, there's more, right? And, right? And they give you like 17 more things for the $19.95. Just pay shipping and handling. And it's like, but guess what? How beautiful would it be for you to talk about how he extends grace and mercy and love and compassion and forgiveness. And watch this. And he heals hearts and he heals, delivers minds. And he puts marriages back together. And he causes families to come back together. And he does. But wait, there's more. And you get heaven with that as well. And in heaven, there is no sickness. There is no dying. There is no nighttime. I mean, you can go on and on and on. And guess what? It's free. I would love to be able to say that commercial every time somebody asks me. That's why I live out loud. I live out loud at the coffee shops. I live out loud at the grocery store, the gas station. When you do that, you create the opportunity to share your faith with somebody. And guess what? It's not this clunky thing that you got to pull out this manual and say, if you do this, he'll do that. No. You simply just need to believe what Christ did, what God did for us through Christ. You simply need to believe that in your heart and be willing to confess it with your mouth. And if you do that, you shall be saved. And shall is a promise word. It is not contingent on something. It is not a prerequisite to something. Shall is a promise word. If you are saved, you are saved. And I love to be able to share that with other people. Let me move on. Time is running up. We got to go beyond the door. We got to get beyond just coming here and just worshiping. It's beautiful. I love to come and worship with you guys. I love to see you guys and to shake hands with you and hug you and so forth and so on. I love all those things. I love to be able to sing songs with you guys and clap and what all the. But we have to go beyond this door. The last item on our agenda for today is the priority and assignment for kingdom citizens. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. We're back in the Sermon on the Mount. And I'm only going to, we're only going to talk about the A portion of this verse. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Jim spoke about this a couple of months ago, It says, but seek ye first the kingdom, seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Allow me to just talk about the part that's before the comma. We are to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Before we seek for my family right now, we're out looking for a house, right? We're house hunting and all that. But before I ask God about that house, I need to ask him about his kingdom. I had a health scare some months ago. But before I seek God about my healing, I need to seek him about his kingdom. Before I seek God about my finances or my children, I need to seek him about his kingdom and how to live righteous before him and others. Now I'll go to the second part of that verse, because when I do that, the rest of it will be added. I don't need to worry about where I'm going to sleep. Jim talked about anxiety and not having to worry about it, but resting in the Lord and letting him take care of it. I'm paraphrasing. Go back and watch the sermon. But when we take care of his business, he takes care of us. When we seek after his righteousness and his kingdom and his agenda, God then takes care and tends to our needs. Now, let me clarify. That doesn't mean that you don't save your money. That doesn't mean that you don't do your due diligence in whatever area that you need to work in, right? I don't expect a house to fall out of the sky. We had to go and get an agent. And we had to call the mortgage brokers and so forth and so on. We had to do all these different things. So you have to do your due diligence, because God's not just going to drop a house out of the sky. It just doesn't work like that, right? But at the same time, I put his kingdom and his righteousness, his agenda, above all of that. And I trust that in all the other things that I'm doing, that he's going to open doors and make a way in all those other areas. So I don't stress these things. I don't need the house to be a worshiper. I don't need the car so that I feel comfortable in coming here to preach. I don't need things in order to live for God. I live for God, and he just supplies the rest of it. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, we're going to go down to verse 23. Through 26, I heard somebody flipping pages. All right, verse 23 says, Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Verse 25, all this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Now, this goes back to what I was saying earlier. Jesus was telling us in the Great Commission to go and to make disciples. And sometimes we feel like, God, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to articulate that. But if you're reading his word and you're studying his word, see, there's a reason why we urge people to come to Bible study, right? We urge the women to come to Seamless. We're urging the men to come to Kingdom Men Rising. There's a reason why we wanted you to come to all the different classes that were being offered. It's so that you can continue to grow in your faith and learn the scriptures and learn what it is that God did through all these characters in the Bible, but more importantly, what he did through his son Jesus. And when you learn those things, you're not expected to remember all those things, right? But when you get in certain situations and you're dealing with various different people and various different circumstances, when you're searching for the right thing to say, the Holy Spirit will bring back to you whatsoever Christ taught you. Whatever you learned in Bible study, whatever you learned Sunday morning, whatever you learned in those special classes, whatever you learned in your own personal Bible study, the Holy Spirit will bring that back to you, and it will have its effect on the person you're talking with. See, the beautiful thing about this is God didn't say, go and do the best you can. When he sent us out, he said, lo, I am with you always. Whenever you go out to live this out loud, he will be with you. Whenever you go out to witness with your mouth and with the fruit of your lips, he will be with you. When adversity strikes and God needs to rise up and show himself in you and you feel like I'm weak, then he'll come in and make his strength known to you and everybody else. He will be with you. And Jesus wanted his disciples to understand that. And if I like the King James Version, or the New King James Version, as it reads, he says, I'm headed to my Father, but I will not leave you comfortless. I will send you another comforter. That helped me to understand that the Holy Spirit operates with us in the same manner that Jesus operated with his disciples. The same way he was with them when they messed up, made mistakes, when they got it right, the same way he interacted with his disciples is the same way that the Holy Spirit is going to interact with us. And when we're wrong, he will gently remind us that we're wrong. And when we're right, he will lovingly wrap his arms around us and say, glory to the Father. But it's time for us. I don't know if you've Not sure if you're watching TV or if you're looking outside your window, but it's time for us to, as kingdom citizens, to go beyond the doorway, to experience God, to get all we can whenever we're here, and then to leave out of these doors having experienced God, having had a one-on-one encounter with him. Then time to go out and affect all of those people who are seemingly losing it. See, I used to say, and I have to catch myself, that's a shame. When I see something, I go, oh, that's a shame. But if I'm not going to do something about that, then I shouldn't say anything. If I see something and it's not right, I need to have the boldness to go and speak to it. I can't talk about young men and how they need to pull their pants up and they don't have a father and they don't have any direction and they're making all these bad decisions. Somebody needs to go and tell them, pull your pants up. And I know a lot of people are like, well, Pastor Jay, I don't like to get into the confrontation. I don't like that, whatever else. But if you love them, then you will tell them what's right for them. Because I'm going to tell you right now. Now, I know girls don't usually do the whole sagging thing, but let Cadence walk into my house. Right? Let her walk into my house dressed all funny. I'm like, no, ma'am. You need to go change that. But not just go change it. Let me tell you why. Because whenever I talk to my daughter, I never just talk to her and tell her, that's not acceptable, go to your room, change that. I never just say that. When I tell her, I say, hey, love, I need you to understand something. See, when you come out, if you're dressed like that, I understand what it is what you're trying to achieve, but there are some sick men out there that don't understand that, and they will try to take advantage of you, and then I have to come after them, and then I'm in jail, and you got to come visit me and put money on my books. It's a thing. Okay? So let's avoid the visitations to prison and just go change your clothes. Now, I've never had to have that conversation with her yet. Thank the Lord. But if I'm willing to have that with my daughter, I need to be willing to have that with the next young lady. And she may look at me and frown or whatever else, but a seed will have been planted. I have to do it in love. I have to do it with gentleness. I have to do it with meekness, right? I have to do it in the same way that Christ would have done it, but I have to do it. Because I can't advance the kingdom sitting in here worshiping alone. I have to take what we do in here out the door and spread that and share that with everybody else. He loved me, he'll love you. I was deep in my sins, he can pull you out of your sins. And he will pick you up, he'll dust you off, he'll give you a purpose. And whatever they used to know you as back then, and whatever your persona was back then, God will change that. But it calls for us as kingdom citizens to not be afraid of what we see or what we hear. It calls for us to be bold. When we feel like we can't be, then it just calls for us to rely on his boldness. And we don't know what to say, we rely on what he said. And we don't know how to do it, we allow the Holy Spirit to direct us as to how he did it. But it's time for us as kingdom citizens, while living this kingdom life, it's time for us now to advance the kingdom. It's time to move it forward. It's time to take back what belongs to God. Our children, our parents, our uncles, our aunts, our co-workers, our neighbors down the street. It's time for us to take back everything that Satan has been trying to destroy. It's time for us to take all of those people back. But that only happens when his citizens advance the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this day. Thankful again for the opportunity to come to this worship service. Thankful for my brothers and my sisters who are in this room with me today. I'm thankful for their heart. Thank you. I'm thankful for their commitment and their dedication to you. And I'm thankful, God, for just the beautiful people that you have made them into. And I'm praying, God, that all of us, myself included, all of us, will gain a sense of urgency. We will want to take what it is that you have placed in us and now take that to the rest of the world, advancing your kingdom forward. They'll never hear it unless we say it. They'll never see it unless we live out loud in front of them. They won't believe it unless we share our testimony. And so, God, we just want you to be with us as your word says you would be. Empower us. Endow us with your spirit, your strength, your courage, that we will go out and win this world, one co-worker at a time, one son at a time, one neighbor at a time, but that we will win them to you for your glory, for your purpose. And we believe, God, that as we begin to dive into this mission you have for us as kingdom citizens, we believe that as we begin to dive further into this mission, that you will see to our needs, that you will meet all of our concerns, that you will fix those things that are broken, that you will restore those things that were lost. We believe, God, that as we advance your kingdom, that you will take care of me as your kingdom citizen. And I pray, God, that every person I speak to, whether it's a seed planted or whether that seed is watered, I pray, God, for your increase to come. I pray, God, that souls will be saved. I pray that minds will be delivered. Hearts will be healed. I pray that marriages will come back together. I pray that families will reconcile. God, as we advance your kingdom, I look forward to all of the great praise reports that are to come. And I look forward to your name being restored as the one true living God. Be with us, God, as we advance your kingdom. And now, God, take us from this place, but never ever from your presence, and allow us, God, to return at the appointed time with no danger to befall us. And we, God, will be mindful to give you praise, honor, and glory both right now and forevermore. Amen.